welcome to you here this evening. Thank you for coming. It's a joy to have you here and be together this way. We are gathered together with anticipation and what the Lord will do in our hearts and our lives this week. Amen. I think it's very appropriate. Why don't we begin with a word of prayer? Why don't we kneel together? Heavenly Father, we bow before you, Lord, lifting up our hearts, our voices to worship, to magnify and exalt and glorify thee, Father. There's no God like unto thee. We just magnify thy name tonight, and we worship you, Lord, and lift up our voices to call upon your name, Father. We sense our need of you this evening as we're gathered here together, and we think of the days ahead, and we think of the needs in our own lives and the lives of our congregation, the people in our congregations and our families, and we think of the tremendous calling upon our lives, Father, to preach the gospel, to be ministers of reconciliation, to be overseers of the flock of God, the flock that you have purchased with your own blood, as we've just heard. We come to you tonight and we ask, Father, that you would look upon us in mercy and grace these days, and that you would reach down and touch us, Lord. You know our needs, Father, and we pray that you would help us to come to you with a broken heart and surrendered will and a surrendered life, laying our cares at your feet and just bringing our needs before you, Lord, and just allowing you to go deep into each of our hearts here this week. We pray against any hindrance, any distraction, any spirit of the enemy that would distract from what you want to do in these meetings. We pray, Lord, that you would have preeminence and that your will would be accomplished in each of our lives. Father, we ask that you would just penetrate in our hearts. You would make us your ministers, a flame of fire for your people. Father, it burdens our heart as we see. We know that the church is your bride, Lord Jesus, and we pray that you would help us to, as your ministers of your bride and in your bride, Lord, we help give us a holy jealousy and a vision for your people and for your church, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we pray that you would give us a revelation of how dear the church is to your heart and how you are coming back to receive her. And Lord, how the walls are broken down and how there's much, just a much deception and many false things coming into the church, Lord. And we pray that you would raise up a standard, Lord Jesus, in these last days and raise up a testimony for your sake and for your glory. A true church that would live out your standards, your righteousness, Lord Jesus, and would be all that you have created us to be in the new creation in yourself. We just thank you and we pray you'll give us a vision and a burden these days, and you'll bless the preaching of your word and bless the brothers as they share, lay your burdens upon their hearts. We pray that you'll set them apart for your service. Claim them as vessels to use, Lord, and fill them with the Holy Spirit. We pray that your Spirit would be present in each meeting and would guide and direct these services and would take the words that are spoken and penetrate deep into our own hearts and lives, and give us direction for our lives, Father, and for our churches, Lord, and give us wisdom in the days we're living in, that we may pass on to our children and their children, Lord, a living testimony of the true church of Jesus Christ that is prevailing and triumphing over this world and all that this world has to offer. You have created a glorious church, Lord, and we pray that you would just claim her and that you would work in our hearts and lives this week and give us a vision. Help us clarify our vision, Lord, that you have. Have your way in each of our lives. We just dedicate this whole week to you and pray that your will would be accomplished. We ask that you bless this service tonight. Give us direction and wisdom. Bless our hearts together, Lord. We're several different congregations and church groups represented. Give us grace, Lord, in relating to one another. Give us a true love, the love you have for all your people, Lord Jesus. And help us to learn from each other and to be a blessing to one another this week. And we just thank you for each one that is here. And we pray that your will would be accomplished in their lives. And We thank You for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's a blessing to be here, and we thank You. Is that working, Jonathan? Okay. We were sitting here singing, and I was thinking I had to think of the words in Hebrews chapter 1 where it says, "And of the angels He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows." And I guess the burden that's been on my heart the last 2 weeks and thinking of these meetings and praying for these meetings, Brother Kenny referred to it in the last hymn we sang there in the top. There's a verse in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 that says, "Take heed unto yourselves. Take heed unto yourselves." Speaking there, the overseers from Ephesus that came to meet Paul as he was traveling towards Jerusalem. "Take heed unto yourselves." And he said some other things there. And he goes on in the next verse and says how after mighty parting, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. But especially those words, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." I want us to think of that this evening. Some of the burden we have for these meetings is not a push for an ecumenicalism, or I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's not a push to push different church groups into one particular train of thought or view of thinking or scriptural interpretation. But these meetings have been birthed out of a tremendous burden on our hearts to just be a blessing to the church of Jesus Christ, to the church that stands on a literal interpretation of the New Testament, a church that has a desire and takes the teachings of the Lord Jesus serious and believes that is the true charter for his church. And we have a burden that we know that as we labor and as you minister among your congregations, we face many different challenges as we do that. We face challenges from the outside, pressing in. The world is, with technology especially, that's coming at us in many, many ways. The world is pressing in on us on all sides, it seems like. And we face that in our churches and as ministers. We face those challenges. Then we also face the challenges of our own personal lives and our own personal families and walking in a holy life before our families, at the same time ministering and pouring out our lives in the churches and the congregations where we're ministering. And we face challenges there. Sometimes we get drained down, we get tired and we get weary, and our spirituality, it kind of ebbs out, and we're just pressing on and we're struggling sometimes. We're just pulling ourselves on. And we have a burden that to have some meetings that would strengthen the foundations of the teachings of Jesus. Yes, we believe that Jesus meant what He taught. And yes, we believe that He has called a people. He wants a people called out of the world to literally live out His teachings. We believe the new creation, that He came to establish a body, a new creation here on earth, His church, where He is the head. And that church is a revelation and a manifestation of His life, His nature, His character. That's what His teachings are. They're a revelation of the nature and character of God. And He has came to redeem a people to Himself, a peculiar people, that He would have a representation here on earth, a people that are practically living out His teachings, the nature and character of God. We believe that. And we want to encourage. Our burden is that these meetings would encourage and strengthen those foundations. And that you would be strengthened in your convictions. And that you would be encouraged in lifting up that standard as you go home to your churches. And you would be excited about that. And more than ever, just convinced. We are faced with a just a myriad, just a wave of Christianity that questions the practical teachings of Jesus. And our desire is to strengthen the foundations that yes, that is what Jesus Christ wants. He wants a representation here on the earth that seriously takes His Word. Then are you My disciples. If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. Abiding in Him, where His life is abiding. And these congregations are expression of His life and His love and His glory in their communities. So to strengthen those foundations, our desire is also that you could come here this week and you have very busy lives. I know we all do. We're very busy and there's many demands on your schedule. And I know many of you had to simply make a choice this week. There were a lot of things you could do and a lot of things pressing in, and you said you made a choice to set this time aside. And we're very jealous for that this week. And we want you we just to come and to be spiritually encouraged wherever you are. And there's different church groups represented here, and maybe you're at a different place, some of you are, from each other. We just want to encourage that we can be gracious with each other and learn from each other and be a blessing to one another this week. And that you can come and be spiritually encouraged and strengthened. And I was thinking of that. I was thinking of this little illustration. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Take heed unto yourselves. That literally is telling us, again, in 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul was writing there to Timothy, and he said those words in the middle of writing there. He said, take heed unto thyself, Timothy. And here he told these ministers from, these elders there from Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves. It means to pay attention to be cautious about, to apply oneself and to adhere to. And I was thinking of that this morning and meditating on that. There's three aspects that I thought of. Let us take heed, brothers and fellow ministers. Let us take heed that our own vessel remains clean and pure. We can preach. Just because we preach against sin doesn't mean that we are not tempted ourselves and have not succumbed. We tell our people about the terribleness of sin. But do we deal with it just as vehemently in our own lives as we preach about it? I thought of this lamp. And this, I got this light out of storage and I hadn't used it. We hadn't used it for many years. But it's got a pretty dirty globe. It's all smoky here. But there's a light in there. There's a light on in there. It's just not real clear and bright. And maybe that's your life here. Maybe that's my life this week. There's a light burning in there, but there's some smoke on the outside. It's just not real clear. Take heed unto yourself that your vessel is clear and clean and pure in your own life. Sin in a minister's life brings much hindrance to the work of God. Let's take heed to ourselves that our own light, that our own vessel is pure. Pure motives, free from pride, fleshly appetites, and moral purity. Let us take heed unto ourselves lest we become servants to those things that God desires to liberate His people from. The second thing I thought of this morning was take heed unto ourselves that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, but be continuously filled with the Spirit. And I thought of this lamp again. If there's no oil in this lamp, there can't be any fire on there. There has to be oil in the lamp. We must be filled with the Spirit. The minister needs this more than anyone, doesn't he? A life that is filled with the Spirit of God. Take heed unto yourself that your life, your own life, is filled with the Holy Spirit. Emptied of my own agenda. You know, being filled with the Spirit is not so complicated. I think being filled with the Spirit means being emptied of my own self, my own will, and my own agenda. That's a simple definition. but take heed unto thyself. And I thought of that widow in 2 Kings, where she, Elisha? I don't even remember. Elijah? Yeah. Elisha told her to take this pot of oil, and she got all the neighbor's pots, and she took her own pot, and she started filling all those vessels till they were all full. And that's the type of the minister. You're that vessel in God's hands. He wants to fill you with the Spirit so you can fill, so He can work through your life and the lives of other people. The minister is called to be broken bread and poured out wine. It's not a position. It's an opportunity to serve and to minister and pour out your life as Jesus Christ gave us the example. We could look at Luke 11, 1 through 13, but those words are so precious. Take heed unto thyself that you are filled with the Spirit of God. Luke 11 says there, verse 13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? How much more? And that word ask is a present participle. It means how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that continuously ask Him, that keep on asking Him. It's not a one time. It's that have that posture of brokenness before Him and entreating Him, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit for service. Amen? I think that's sometimes why we don't experience it, because God doesn't fill us with the Holy Spirit to make us a showpiece on the wall. But He fills us for service, doesn't He? To pour us out for His people. And the third point I thought of this morning was, let's take heed unto ourselves that our devotion and our zeal doesn't burn low. If anyone should be zealous and have a zeal for the things of God and the burden of God and the Word of God, should be the minister, shouldn't it? If anyone should be zealous, the calling on our life is to be zealous. Zeal, to be burning. A lethargic or a dull minister will produce lethargic and dull people. If the devil cannot get us to burn strange fire in our censers like Nadab and Abihu, he tries to put the fire out. Let us be aware of his devices. And our desire is that this week, as we spend these few days together, we could consider these things. And we could spend time alone, or however you want to spend some of your time, just seeking God. We all have needs. I know we do. We're here this week. I don't think there's any one of us men here that have the answers to all those needs. But Jesus Christ does. Amen. We have examples in His Word. I thought of the minister's master. Isn't that a blessing? The minister's master. We think of the blind man. He had a tremendous need. But one encounter with Jesus Christ, that need was taken care of. That's what we really need, isn't it? We need God to meet with us this week. We need to hear from Him. And we need a touch from Him in our lives. Just a few practical things. The brothers who have been on the planning committee work together in planning these meetings. You'll probably have noticed that Brother Paul Weaver is not on the preaching schedule this year. We've tried very hard to get him to come, but at the same time he had already made plans with his family. They were on an extended trip for their 40th anniversary, and we understand that. But we blessed him in that. But we just wanted to share that he's very supportive of the meetings and has said he would still be involved with the planning. And so we it's been a joy with that. We were all three agreed to ask Brother David Alspaugh to join us this year in the planning committee and being involved that way. And many of you know him. I just got to know him this year, and it's been a real joy. I look forward to working with him this year. And if you don't know him, well, I encourage you to get to know him. He's a dear brother, and we're glad that he's here with us this year. And also want to say thank you to all of you who have agreed to come and preach this week. And to the rest of us, let us remember to pray for them faithfully and lift them up before the Lord. And you know, you think of preaching to a minister, that's going to be an intimidating thing. God will give us grace, and He'll bless their efforts, and He'll bless His Word. We're sure of that.
So I think I have a few closing announcements. I brought some cleaner here. Maybe we'll clean this up sometime and we'll set this out and let it burn a while. But it's a lot clearer and a lot more beautiful. There's a lot more light coming out of there when it's cleaned up. Let's remember that this week as we come before the Lord and seek His face together. Brother Dale's going to share a few thoughts yet, and then I'll have a closing announcement, just some practical things. I want to read this poem yet. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on Thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O Captain, free, Thy soldier who would follow Thee. From subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings. Not thus our spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims Thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me that love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod, make me Thy fuel, flame of God. Many of you have probably heard that poem already, but I just wanted to read it tonight. May God do it. May He make His ministers a flame of fire. May He receive the glory. It's Brother Dale. I'll just lay this up here.
Yes, brothers, good evening, and God bless you. This is just an introductory time. We're on a Monday evening here. The meetings start tomorrow with the scheduled preaching that we have outlined for these few days. But this evening, what we'd like to do is just bring our hearts together and help us to think together and help us to worship together. And that way then be better prepared for what the Lord has in these coming days. And I just want to say a brief word, not to call undue attention to it, but to give us a word of direction in it. And that is that we are aware that we represent quite a group of backgrounds here. And it could very well be that we find ourselves in this tabernacle this evening with people or with groupings of people that maybe we normally do not have very much contact with in our normal Christian experience or congregational lives. And so I'm aware that might be the case. And so how are we going to conduct ourselves in these days? I want to give us just a word to think about. Would you please, each one of you, give consideration to this possibility? Would you give consideration to this, that it might be some brother here from a setting that might not be exactly like your own, but he's here in these days and he's suffering and he's struggling. And it's difficult where he lives. He has hard things to work with and he does not know what to do. And home, he learned about these meetings, he prayed about it, talked about it with his wife, maybe suggested something to the congregation, and maybe it was not even very easy for him to come here, but chose to come to these meetings, asking if God would please do something. God, please speak to me, say something to me, God. I just wonder how many of us here are just like that tonight. I would doubt there are many of us just like that tonight. And then if that is the attitude that we have, then that should tell us what kind of spirit we should have towards that brother, towards that one who is here. And maybe it takes all the grace of God that he has to be here, but he is here. May God light the lantern of that dear brother, whoever he is. May God shine that crystal glass. May God give a testimony to that heart. May God give new courage to that brother, whoever he might be. Then that is why we are here. But if we could just think that way about each other, I think it would help us in our attitudes. I think it would strengthen from the very first day. And then we won't have struggles. And we're not here to preach ourselves. We're here to preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And His words literally believed. His words graciously received. His words into our hearts. His words of life. And our brothers here that need them. And one of the things we want to do in these meetings, yes, we want to give you tools to take home to your churches. Yes, we want to give you a strengthening of your vision, of your conviction. Yes, we want to do that. But there's one more thing we'd like to do, and we really want to do it and need to do it during these next few days. That is, we want to look right into our hearts here. We want to minister to our own hearts right here. We want to just be real honest about what we ourselves are as the ministers of God. We are needy ministers of God. Now I just want to share a few thoughts. I will not take much of your time. This has been a big day for us. And I just want to say this yet before I read the scripture. Have you noticed, brothers, in your ministry, that sometimes the pressures and struggles that you find in ministering to the hearts of your people and the issues that come up and the seemingly unresolvable circumstances that you must surmount, and they are all around you, you know? And these things come and they're pressures on you, and these pressures work on you. They work on me. They work on us as ministers. And we take these things into our hearts, and we take them home for supper. And we take them home to the bedroom in the night. And we take them home to our wives. And the next thing you know, there's a struggle between the minister and his wife. There's a struggle in the home with mama. There's a struggle with the wife at home. It could well be that there's someone here tonight that left your wife at home and you wish you could wrap your arms around her and ask her to forgive you. You wish you could say some new words. You'd like to go outside this tabernacle and take the phone and call to the house and say, honey, I shouldn't have said it that way. I shouldn't have left that way. That's not the way I should have left it. I shouldn't have said it. Because those pressures, those tensions. Now, brothers, we need the Lord to help us. I'd like you just to open your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 37. This is a well-known scripture to all of you Bible teachers and Bible students. This is a well-known passage to you. Before I read this passage, I'm going to tell you a little story. Maybe I'll have to tell you more than one story, but I don't want to take very long. But I'm teaching you this story. I'm going to give you this story for a lesson. I'm going to give you this story because it has a lot to do with the effectiveness of our ministering in the church. It has a lot to do with the effectiveness of our preaching. It has a lot to do with the effectiveness of our working with our people. What I'm going to try to teach you with this story. When I was a young fellow, very young, maybe 6 or 7 years old, I may have been 8 years old, but right in there somewhere, I don't know where my parents got it. We didn't have very many books at home. My father was not a person that bought books. We didn't have very many books at home, but they had just one volume. They just had one book of Uncle Arthur's bedtime stories. It just was one book. Now, they had a whole series of those books, but we just had one. And we only had the stories that were in that one book. And I got that book one day and read a story in there. And that story so intrigued me that I often would go to the shelf and get that book off and read that same story again. And I would read that same story again. I'm going to tell you the story just in very, very brief. I cannot tell it to you like Uncle Arthur could tell you if he would be here tonight. Now, where the story took place, I don't remember. It was in a poor place. It was evidently in some kind of a dust bowl or some kind of a depression type of time. And this man was a young farmer, and his wife was, they were not very long married. And I don't know if she was expecting a child or what it was, but she was sick. This poor young bride was a sickly wife. And they were poor. They could not afford to go to the doctors. And they had some kind of little flipper out there in the shed. And sometimes it ran, sometimes it didn't. And they had this old car there that they had to use to go whenever they went somewhere. So right now, of late, they weren't using it because they didn't have the funds. And she was sick, and they were trying to put off going to the doctor because they couldn't afford it. But finally, he came in one day from the chores, and she said, "We can't go any longer. We must go to the doctor today. We must go to the doctor." And he said, "Well, we can't go to the doctor." She said, "We have to go to the doctor. I don't know what we're going to do when we get to the doctor." Well, he said, "I'll try to start it." He said, "It was a crank on the front. I'll try to start it." So he cranked this thing, and it started. And they got his wife in there, and they took off to the town where the doctor was. And now, as they were going, this was not running very well, this engine. And Mother was not feeling very well sitting here along the side. And as we're going up a hill there, somewhere along their trip, this thing sputtered and died. And the thing wouldn't run. And of course, they're in desperation. They have to get to the doctor. She is very sick. They have no money. He gets out and looks at the engine. I suppose he wasn't much of a mechanic. He didn't know what to do. He looked at the engine. And he looked at from the top. He got under the car and looked up at it from the bottom. And when he was down under the car, looking at this engine that would not run, he spied something on the ground and reached out his hand, and it was a roll of money. It was a roll of bills. That had somehow or another, there it was on the road, and he took a hold of this in his hand. He had this roll of money in his hand. And he jumped out in front of the car and said, "Look," he said, "look, honey, look what's under the car." She said, "Turn the crank. Turn the crank." And the car started. And then they went to the doctor, and they had the money to pay the bill, and it was in his hands, and it was under the car, and it was where the car stopped, and God knew where to stop the car. And I read that story, and I read that story many times. And I'm going to tell you what happened to me as I read that story. And this is the important thing. That the story is important, and the story is true. And I will tell you what happened as I read that story over the years. Number one, I believed the story. I came to believe the story. And number two, I came to believe that God can do it today. I came to believe that God can do it today. I came to believe that this God that we're reading about here in this Word, that provides, that does these things, that is able, that He can do it today. And tonight I could stand here and tell you my own story. I wouldn't have to go to Uncle Arthur's bedtime stories to tell you a story almost identical to the story that I just told you happened to my wife and I. And why do you think it happened to us? Because we believed the story. We believed the God of the story. And we still believe the God of the story. And my dear pastoring brothers, if we're going to minister to our people, the great needs that press upon us on all sides, we must believe the God of the story. And we must have this relationship with this God of the story. We must know the God of the story. And believe that what He has done, He can do. And what He has done, He is doing. And if only we would have faith to believe. As a grain of mustard seed, what could God do? Now I want to read this story. This is God's story. I want to read these few verses to you. We'll read verses 1 through 10. And as you remember, we're in Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about him. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. Now, you know, that was an interesting question for the teacher, the eternal teacher, the heavenly teacher, the master of the minister. That was an interesting question for the teacher, the master of the minister, to ask the minister. Can these bones live? You see, that question, Ezekiel did not ask it. The Lord asked Ezekiel, O Lord God, Thou knowest. That was a beautiful answer for Ezekiel. You see, Ezekiel did not give his opinion on the matter. I suppose that for Ezekiel that would not have been a very promising prospect. Verse 4, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, though the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And we must believe the story. And we must believe the God of the story. And we might say, well, this, of course, is referring here to a nation. And this is an Old Testament prophecy. And this is something that God is working out with a group of ethnic people. And we say, we're going to interpret this properly here, and we're going to delegate this, the fulfillment of this to a certain time and place, and God's going to take care of this in His own way, in His own time, with these people prophesied of here. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But may I just ask you, if we could get to the place as ministers with, and I know, listen, brother, this light, did you notice he tried to turn it down? Did you notice he turned it down? And did you notice that it just barely stuck a little flame out of by the top there? You could just see a little bit from your seat down there. And now, Brother Alan, I want you to turn it down lower yet. And when you turn it down lower yet, I want you to turn it down lower yet. And I want you to turn it down so low that if you turn it down any lower, it would go out altogether. But turn it down as low as you can turn it, and there's still something there. Something there. But just so little. And that something that's there so little is my faith. That's all there is. That's about what's there. But now, brothers, listen. The problem is in the church. The problem is in your family. The lost son in your home. The struggles you have with your children. The drift in the congregation. The unsettling and the extenuating circumstances that come upon the preacher. And here's the master, and here's the minister, and here's the need. And here's the master, and here's the minister, and here's the need. If you and I would come to a place, if we would learn this during these next 4 days, that when these difficult and impossible things come into our congregations and into our families, it's for one reason, that God wants to breathe His holy breath upon those people. And He wants to use us to make a holy connection from the source of grace and life to the need that's in that person's heart. And He wants us to be used of Him to bring life and offer hope and encouragement to the people. And He wants us to believe that there are no impossible circumstances. He wants us to believe that it's us that He has chosen. We don't need to send them to the charismatics. We don't need to send them off to some other group. We don't need to send them off to some other congregation. We don't even need to send them off to some specialist sitting behind his desk. We have congregations. We have love. We have life. We have Christ in the midst. There's a golden candlestick. There's a lampstand. He stands there holy and regal and crowned and glorious with all power and authority. And He stands there and He offers to us everything we need and says, I give this to you. Bring bread to these people. I give this to you. Give healing to these people. I bring this need to you. Bring life to these people. Can these bones live? Now, how much should I say? And the tendency is to be pragmatic and to make the prognosis and to say, this is what's wrong. She has always been like that. That's the way her mother was. I know where that came from. If you know her background, we understand that it's easy for her to turn out that way. And very, very possibly she might yet, that's not the end of it. She'll probably go this way yet and do that yet. And someone can so accurately depict all those things and explain it so very, very well that this is the reason why the person has a problem and just what the wrong is that's in their life and the hindrance that they are to God and what they're doing to frustrate the grace of God in their lives. And that's why they are where they are. But wait a minute. That person, that attitude, that diagnosis does not bring life to the people. Somebody must do something else. Somebody must have another way to minister to this need. Someone must try something else. Someone must know God. Someone must come before the Lord. Someone must say, dear God, what gift do you have for these people? Minister, master, minister, master. So here's the minister. There's a wedding at Cana of Galilee, chapter 2 of John. Many guests are there. Mealtime, banquet, fiesta. Let's have a meal together. Servers, deacons, ministers. What did those people serve to the people that were there waiting for that feast? What did they serve? Well, here's what they did. They went over there to where the meal was being prepared. And they received the meal that was being given. They received the food that was to be shared, and they took that. And they carried it over here, and they gave it to the people. And what was prepared is what they gave. And what they received is what they shared. And they wouldn't have had it, but they received it. And after they received it, they gave what they received. And what they got from the Lord, they took over here and met the need with what they got. And then some of it was empty. Some of it didn't work anymore. Someone ran out of supplies. Does that ever sound like does that ever sound like me? He just ran out. And then Jesus comes, the Master. And there's plenty of oil for those vessels. And there's plenty of wine for those firkins. There's plenty to be poured out to the governor of the feast. And why is it that you saved the best for last? How did that happen? Why, it's like this. We just served what we received. And this is what He gave us. This is what we shared. And when these needs come up in our churches, I want us to believe the story. And I want us to believe the God of the story. That He has a purpose. That He has life for these people. He wants to give us life for these people. He wants to give us life for these tremendous needs that we have in our families. In our congregations. He wants to give us life for these members that the rest feel nothing can be done. And Lord, Thou knowest what You want to do. I only ask, dear God, that You keep me in Your presence long enough till I see what You want to do. Lord, keep me in Your presence long enough until I feel about those people the way You feel about those people. Lord, keep me in Your presence long enough so my heart is broken for them like Your heart is broken for them. And Lord, keep me in Your presence long enough until Your will can be done in earth as it's done in heaven so that You can give life to these dear people. And that is the burden that I have for these meetings these days. And I trust that God will minister to your hearts. And this is not a finger-pointing time. It's not a tongue-wagging time. It's a time of serious seeking the face of God together. as brothers, because we have great needs in our lives. May the Lord richly bless you for the sacrifice you've made, for the sacrifice your wives have made in having you come. May God richly reward you for being here these days. Let us pray and worship God together.
Thank you, Brother Dale. Okay, we have a few closing announcements here, and we'll be maybe we'll have a hymn, Brother Kenny, if you can think about that, and one of you brothers pray, have a closing prayer. But a few things here. We're asking that you please don't lock your cabins or your rooms. So don't lock those. I think we can trust each other this week, because they don't even have keys for all of them, I think. And the rooms in the cabins are owned by individuals that are part of the camp here. So there's a variation of how some of them are kept up or taken care of. But we're just asking that you don't lock them. Also, for the restrooms and the showers, please check the signs. The big one, I think we shared probably with most of you, but the big one, the big shower house over here on the other side of the dining room and a little bit to the north of it, that is designated, both sides are designated for the brothers, for the men this week. And we have a men's sign over the ladies. But so that is designated for the men. Then there's some restrooms right behind us here. And there's a men's side and a ladies' side. And again, please check the signs there. Make sure you're going the one you think you are. We've had a few surprises last year. And we just check those signs. We want to mark them better than we have them marked now. But there's a men's here, and that will be the men's. But the ladies up here will be designated for the ladies that are helping. And then also we have some daily schedules printed out here on the table. We'll try to hand them out as you go out tonight, or maybe pass them around here. Some. And check those, because the times are slightly different than they were on the brochures that we sent out. The breakfast is the breakfast will be from 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning instead of 7:30 to 8:30. It'll be 7 to 8, and that's on that brochure. And then also supper is from 5 to 6:15. From 5 o'clock. Supper will be at 5 o'clock. So you should pick up a schedule there, and we'll try to help make so you get that. Do any of you have questions about any practical questions for the camp here? Well, feel free to ask one of us too. If you forgot something, please ask. We'll try to help you get it. We do have extra blankets, pillows, and toothbrushes, and toothpaste, and towels, and stuff like that. So if you forgot it, that's okay. Just ask, and we'll be glad to make sure you have it. If there's anything else we can help get you to make you feel welcome and comfortable, we would like to do that. We're very glad you came. We're looking forward to being together this week. God bless each of you. So I think we'll, maybe, Brother Kenny, will you lead us in a hymn? And then, John, do we have some handheld mics? We'll bring Brother Kurt Wagner. Would you have a closing prayer for us after the hymn, brother? That would be a real blessing. Then we'll be dismissed, and there are snacks in the dining room. If you didn't have supper, or even if you did have supper, there's snacks in the dining room, time of fellowship. If you want to do that, feel free to go over there and visit. And we'll look forward to gathering together in the morning. God bless you. Is there anything else? Oh, it would be a blessing, I think, if we could meet with those who are sharing this week, those who are preaching, right after this service. Maybe there's a small room up here. Maybe we'll just meet and connect a little bit. So if you have a message or are preaching this week, right after this service, we'll meet in a room here and just connect there for a little bit. So thank you again for coming, and God bless your evening. So, Brother Kenny, we'll have a hymn and then a closing prayer.